Detroit, January 1982. Address by Lloyd Judd.
Before going on with what we had before us the other night, one would just like to turn to one or two scriptures concerning the wondrous love of Christ. We are seeing Him through those chapters before us in Revelation as one that is surveying that which is the dearest object on earth to Him, His body, His bride. And in that survey, He is saying that which meets with His approval and that which does not meet with His approval. Now, beloved, every redeemed child of God here at this moment is part of that body, part of that bride. And so these words that we had before us the other night, and I trust with His guidance we will again have before us tonight, should be of vital interest to each one of us, because it is His word to us. But I say this refers to each redeemed child of God, each one who has accepted Him as Savior. For without knowing Him as Savior, we would have no part or lot in this matter. We would be in God's sight lost and on our way to a lost eternity. So one would like to turn to one verse, first of all, in Jeremiah 31. It brings before us that wondrous love of Christ. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee. Notice it is in the past tense. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loved us, dear ones, before this world was founded. He loved us before this world was founded. And it's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now let us turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, utterly powerless to help ourselves, no strength in ourselves, Christ died for those that were without God, the ungodly. You know, we often think of the ungodly as somebody that's wicked. Well, the real meaning of the word is without God. Without God. Rejecting Christ, rejecting God's wondrous love, would be enough to label us wicked. But when we were yet without strength, utterly powerless to help ourselves, Christ died for those that were without God, the ungodly. Now, look at verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, look at verse 8 first. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. Am I a sinner? Yes, I have to own that I am a sinner. But oh, wondrous truth, Christ died for me. If he died for sinners, he died for me. Oh, dear one, is there one here that has never seen themselves a sinner in God's sight? I don't say in the sight of your fellow man, not in the sight of your companions, but in God's sight. Are you a sinner? Oh, Christ died for you. Christ died for you, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Oh, we find it written, this man, speaking of Christ, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now in verse 10, oh, I think this is the crowning sheaf, shall we say. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Oh, think of that. When we were enemies, God the Father and God the Son carried out that work of redemption to save your soul and mine when we were enemies. When man was an enemy of God, and oh, when did he show out that enmity, that hatred more than at Calvary's cross? Yes, there at Calvary's cross. And the hearts that nailed him on that cross are but a picture of your heart and mine. The unregenerate man in all his sins, hates God and hates Christ. But while we were in that condition, God the Father and God the Son accomplished that work of redemption, whereby those that were his enemies could be cleansed from all sin, washed from every stain, made fit for his presence. Oh, dear ones, this is the love that God had toward you and toward me. Now one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, dear ones, as we look at this passage, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, that which man would count the most lasting, the most endurable, shall we say. No, but with the precious blood of Christ. And notice, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Oh, what marvelous love this is. Christ foreordained as the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. Oh, sin came as no surprise to God. God has a remedy for you and for me, already chosen before this world was founded. Oh, my friend, what love this is in the heart of God to us. Now turn to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh yes, he is all of this. Faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, it is written, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Every created intelligence, heavenly, earthly, and infernal, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, he is all of this, and he is worthy. Beloved, is there one here that has never bowed the knee to that blessed one? Oh, then we plead with you that you might bow the knee now and know him as your Savior. Then you will indeed have part in life in that which we're about to speak of. Well, the rest of this verse, unto him that loved or loves us, unto him that loves us. Oh, that everlasting love we read of there in Jeremiah. Yea, I have loved you, saith the Lord, with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn. Unto him that loved us and washed us. Every redeemed child of God, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, washed us in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, what it cost him that we might be redeemed. What it cost him that we might be cleansed. But, dear ones, this is the measure of his love to you and his love to me. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, can we turn then to Revelation 2 and verse 18. We noticed the last time that to Ephesus, oh, how much could be said of that assembly, that church, how much could be said for it. No one could point a finger at it, but Christ saw that they had left their first love. Oh, the thoughts of his love to us, of what he has done for us, what he has suffered for us. May it draw out our hearts in response to him. Yes, he brought before that assembly that which should have spoken to their hearts of his death for them. They again had the right to eat of the tree of life, but it was because he had died that they had such a privilege. And then we find in Smyrna, all going through that persecution, that trial, that tribulation, oh, we find that he was the one that had gone through death. Gone through death for you and for me. Yes, he had annulled the power of death. All death can do for us now is set us in the immediate presence of our Lord and Savior. Oh, to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. All that death can do, that which was the stronghold of the enemy, is set us in the immediate presence of Christ. And we found in Pergamos that they were settling down in this world. Oh, dear ones, this is the aftermath of leaving that first love. Those heart's affections which he values so much, leaving that leads to settling down into this sea, to holding that which was contrary to his mind. Oh, even there, those who were overcome, those that would separate from these things so hateful to him, oh, they enjoyed that private communion and approbation with him. Well, now we come to Thyatira, Revelation 2 and verse 18. And of the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Oh, the Son of God, this is the one with whom we have to do, beloved, the Son of God. That one who came down into this scene as a man, but was ever God from all eternity, holy, sinless, spotless, undefiled. Oh, that blessed one came down here as a man, but yet he is the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. Oh, we would remind ourselves of that little verse in Genesis 16, I think it's 13. Four words, Thou God seest me. Remember, dear ones, we come under that all-seeing eye. Nothing escapes his eye. All is seen of him. And his feet are like fine brass. Oh, it speaks of judgment. Sin cannot be overlooked. Sin cannot be passed over. Christ died for our sins. God did not pass over the sins of the believer. Christ died for them. Christ accomplished that work of atonement, whereby God's holiness, his righteousness, was fully and forever satisfied. Yes, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you know him as Savior, then in God's sight you are perfected forever. And yet, he would bring to our attention our walking ways down here while we await his return. I know thy works and charity or love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give every one of you according to your works. Now we'll pause for a moment. Or maybe I should go on another verse. But unto you I say, leave out, dear ones, the words, and unto. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira. We are now speaking of a remnant. We find here a difference made. There was the main body, you might say, and now there is a remnant. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Well, dear ones, one might say, in the face of all this declension, how could there be such praise at the beginning? It is simply this. When all seems lost, when everything seems to have gone, then God turns to those few, that remnant, who would seek to be faithful at all costs. And he speaks to them rather than to the main body, shall we say. And so, during the Dark Ages, which historically this would represent, when everything seemed to be gone, when there was so little true knowledge of Christ, there were here and there those who showed the utmost faithfulness to Christ and to his name. Patience, faith, patience, love, works, all shone out here and there. Well, as the time got darker, and truly they were called the Dark Ages, so these bright lights here and there shone out. Oh, what persecution and suffering and hardship they endured. But they held on at all costs. And oh, God's eye noted it. Noted all that it went through and has recorded it. But I believe too in these four assemblies that will now come before us, four churches, we find a moral state. And we can find that which applies to our own hearts. Oh, what was it here? There was false doctrine, fornication. What do I mean by that? Just this. The apostle said to the Corinthians, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. If we turn to Ephesians, we will find that the church is Christ's body, his bride, separated from this world, for this world hates Christ. This world nailed Christ to a cross. This world rejected him. He came unto his own received him not. Oh yes, separated from this world. Now then, we found in Pergamos, they were dwelling where Satan's seat was. They were dwelling here in Thyatira. Fornication. They are mingling with the world. They are going on with the world, not keeping separate. Oh, dear ones, it's that which is the bride of Christ, His body, His bride, mingling with the world, getting taken up with the world, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Oh, let us consider, what is an idol? Turn to First Epistle of John, just a page or two back, and the last verse in the epistle. I'm going to read from the 19th verse. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, beloved, in Christ, knowing him, what a place it gives us. But then this last verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is said to those that know Christ as Savior. Keep yourselves from idols. You say, I don't worship an idol. But beloved, what is an idol? It is anything that could come between my heart and Christ. Some people make an idol of a hobby. Some people make an idol of their work. Some people make an idol of sport. You can make an idol of anything. Just let it come between you and Christ, and it becomes an idol. Oh, may I ask, has Christ got the first place in your life? What place do you give in your life to the one who gave himself, gave his life, gave everything for you? What place do you give him in your life? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, we go on down. Notice in verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Verse 23, and I will kill her children. Christ never turns against, shall we say, oh, I don't even like to use the word, against his own. He loves his own. He loves them with an everlasting love. But all those that would seek to turn his own aside, those that would seek to corrupt them, to draw them into the world, oh, that is another matter. That is another matter. They come under the wrath of God, except they repent. Now, notice again in verse 23, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Oh, we have to do with one who desireth truth in the inward parts. It's not an outward show. That means nothing. It may pass before your fellow man. It may pass amongst those we are with. But it doesn't pass with God. He desireth truth in the inward parts. He searches the reins and the hearts. All things are open and naked under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 24 then. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira, the remnant, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Oh, dear ones, do you know Christ as Savior? Hold it fast. Don't give up. Do you know that He is coming for you to call you to be with Himself? Hold fast. Hold fast that which thou hast. Or as we have none other, continue thou. Oh, don't give up. His coming is at the door. His coming is imminent. Oh, hold fast. Keep on. Continue. Just wait a little longer, and He will be here. We have before us, in the next chapter, Behold, I come quickly. We have His coming in this very passage. But at the end of Revelation, we noticed last time, three times over, Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Oh, beloved, He's coming, and His coming is at the door. Hold fast till I come. Till I come. Here we have His coming brought in. Hold on until He comes. Oh, are you downtrodden, persecuted? In the world's language, do you get a raw deal? Dear ones, don't worry over it. All these things will be righted at His coming. One thinks of a little poem that was written many years ago. Most here, I'm sure, have read the Three Bitters. One little stanza says, I will give her my cross of suffering, my cup of sorrow to share. But in my home above, with an endless love, all will be righted there. Oh, dear ones, hold fast. Continue. Continue. He that overcometh and keepeth my words, works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Are you little thought of here? There's a day coming when that will be righted. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. We turn back, we won't take time to go back, but we went back to the second psalm. You would find that God gives to Christ, His only begotten Son, the power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Here we find that those that have been faithful to Christ, those that have been so persecuted and downtrodden, He associates them with Himself in His rule over the nations. And I will give Him the morning star. I will give Him the morning star. Turn over to the last chapter of Revelation for just a moment. Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Oh, beloved, it is Christ in that heavenly character. That character which presents Him as coming for His own before the sun rises, the morning star. Oh, how near His coming is. We can see from His word and what is said concerning Israel. And if that time is near, how much nearer is His coming for you and for me as the morning star. I will give him the morning star. Yes, as the night seems to deepen, as the dawn approaches, oh, you see the morning star shining in all its brightness. And it should remind our hearts of Christ. In all the darkness we see around us, Christ is, see around us, Christ is coming for us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Oh, beloved, Christ is still in the midst. He has given up nothing. He is still has supreme authority over his own. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Let us pause, beloved. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Oh, empty profession. You see it on every hand, the name of Christ professed, but they do not know him as their own personal Savior. Never have they been before that blessed one as a lost, guilty sinner. Never have they had to do with that blessed one concerning the question of their sin. Beloved, it's empty profession on every hand. Oh, some time ago I saw in the newspaper, forgotten the name, doesn't matter, famous disco dancer, said she had become born again. Well, one wishes she had, but I wonder. Somebody said to her, what about your disco dancing? Well, I think I can do that better than ever. Oh, beloved, that doesn't go along with being born again, with being a child of God. I'm afraid such becomes empty profession. And empty profession will be found treated as the world. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect or complete before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Oh, here's a warning. Here's a warning. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Remember, we have been put in a place of privilege. We have an open Bible before us. We have the Spirit of God to take of the things of Christ and show them unto us. And God is going to hold each one responsible for the privileges that he has given to them. You and I, beloved, with the privilege that we have had of sitting under the sound of his word, of hearing his word, how responsible we are. And each one who has had an open Bible, God will hold them responsible for that which they have. It is required of a man according to that which he hath, not according to that which he hath not. But, oh dear one, we have an open Bible, and it will be required of us. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This is how the Lord comes on the world. He comes on the world as a thief. And for those that are simply making an empty profession, that are not watching, that are going on mingled with the world, he will come on them as with the world. You know, there's a solemn illustration in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14. We find one who was a righteous man, a true child of God, living in Sodom. He had no business being there. He is taken captive in the wars of Sodom. Dear ones, if we mingle with the world, then we are going to suffer along with the world. And if it's simply empty profession, we will be judged with the world. Lot, of whom I'm speaking, was rescued. He hadn't learned his lesson. He continued in Sodom, had a place of prominence in Sodom. And we find in Genesis 19, God has to drag him out of Sodom, and he loses everything. All his possessions, all his family, everything gone. He himself saved, so is by fire. Oh, beloved, what a lesson these things are to you and to me, that we might keep clear from this world. Verse 4, Revelation 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Oh, if we had that private approbation in Pergamos for those that were faithful, here we find that Christ will publicly acknowledge those that are faithful, true to him. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Those that would seek to be true to him, oh, Christ says, they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. White raiment. Oh, we find in the 19th chapter of Revelation that Christ's bride is clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And we find too, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, there are those who, seeking to confess Christ as Savior, seeking to be true to him, have had their names struck off church registers down below. Had their names struck off church registers in this world. Oh, yes. Never mind, says Christ. I won't strike your name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, which will you choose? Which will you choose, to be confessed before the Father and his angels, or to have a place down here? Oh, the place down here for time, for that which will pass away, but there, that approbation for all eternity. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, think of that. He that is holy. And he says to you, he says to me, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, dear ones, if that Blessed One is in the midst, if we're going on with him, then it must be in that condition suited to his nature. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Oh, dear ones, if we turn over for a moment to Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah 22 and verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Well, Christ is the one that still has control down here. He is still over all. He is the one that opens and no man shuts, and the one that shuts and no man opens. And so, he comes in this form to this assembly or church in Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know thy works. Again and again and again we're reminded, his eye is ever upon us. Thou God seest me. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Are you going to be faithful to him? Then he will look after you. I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut. He is the one that opens, and no man shuts. And that door will not be shut until he sees that it is good for you and for me that it be closed. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut. None can shut until he so decrees. He is over all. He has the key of David. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, beloved, how little this seems. Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. But this is what Christ desires. Keeping his word. I don't mean keeping the Ten Commandments, beloved. Keeping his word. Walking according to his word. Oh, do we take the trouble to open its pages and to see what instruction he has for you and for me? Do we take the trouble to open its pages and see what instruction he has for you and for me? They have kept my word. Oh, how he values this. To seek to go according as he has directed. He has given us directions for our walk in this word. He wants us to go according to it. And hath not denied my name. All do we own by our walk and ways that we belong to Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. This is what we are. What kind of a message do my walking ways, do the walking ways of each one of us, convey to those around us? Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, known and read of all men. Oh, dear ones, what kind of a message are they reading from you? Well, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. This is what he desires. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Oh, dear ones, in a coming day, Christ is going to manifest to this world that we, those that know him as Savior, are the ones that he loved. Oh, won't that be grand? There in that coming day to be manifested that he loved us. He loved us. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from or out of the hour of temptation or trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Dear ones, there's a time of trial, tribulation, judgment coming on this scene. And it's going to fall on those who dwell on the earth, those whose all their expectations, all that they have centered in this scene, earth dwellers. But for those that know Christ as Savior, he is going to keep us out of the hour of trial. Oh, we'll be with him in glory. We'll be with Christ in glory. This is what we're looking for. We're not looking for that judgment. The world can look for it, rightly so, and tremble because of it. But for his own, he is taking us to be with himself. We will be with Christ in glory. Behold, I come quickly. Notice the Thyatira. They were to hold fast till I come. With Sardis, he would come on them as a thief in the night if they didn't watch. But here he simply says, behold, I come quickly. Oh, the time has gone on. His coming is now imminent. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Oh, again and again we find those words, hold fast. Beloved, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has given us everything in Christ. We can have nothing more. We have it all. Hold it fast. Value it. Rejoice in it. Hold it fast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Oh, he had a little strength down here. Up there he will be a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Oh, what association with Christ this is! How he marks them out as his own. Beloved, this is for each redeemed child of God. Oh, that we might enter into it more. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen. Turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Oh, surely this brings before us how man has failed. Man has failed, but in everything and every place that man has failed, Christ has come in and made it good. He is the Amen. He is making good everything where man has failed. The faithful and true witness. Oh, we had brought before us a moment ago there in 2 Corinthians 3 that we are the epistle of Christ, known and read of all men. Have we failed? Oh, beloved, one must hang on to head in shame. Many and many a time, one has failed to exalt, but he is the faithful and true witness. He is the one that is faithful. He is the one that is true. The beginning of the creation of God. Oh, in all things, he must have the preeminence. Adam headed up this race in Eden. Adam sinned, and we come of a sinful stock. We trace our genealogy back to Adam, and we find it is a sinful stock. But all beloved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All in Christ, we trace our genealogy up to him, and we find we stand on resurrection ground. He is head over all things to the church. In all things, he must have the preeminence. Well, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Our time is gone, beloved. I won't take time to read this. But Christ hates indifference, lukewarmness. And do we not see it on every hand? Oh, not too long ago, I was talking to a person, and they had asked this question of one who professed to be a minister of the gospel. What about all the different religions? Oh, he says, all roads lead to Whitby. I happen to be in a little town called Whitby. He says, there's many roads lead to Whitby. As much as to say there are many ways that lead to heaven. We're all going to the same place. Don't worry, we'll all get there. Oh, beloved, that's not what we find in the Word of God. That man was a blind leader of the blind. Beloved, there's only one way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. Oh, beloved, we must take him as our Savior. Rest ourselves in his finished work. cleansed by His precious blood, shed there at Calvary's cross. Oh, there and there alone is the way of salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Notice verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Before going on with what we had before us the other night, one would just like to turn to one or two scriptures concerning the wondrous love of Christ. We are seeing Him through those chapters before us in Revelation as one that is surveying that which is the dearest object on earth to Him, His body, His bride. And in that survey, He is saying that which meets with His approval and that which does not meet with His approval. Now, beloved, every redeemed child of God here at this moment is part of that body, part of that bride. And so these words that we had before us the other night, and I trust with His guidance we will again have before us tonight, should be of vital interest to each one of us, because it is His word to us. But I say this refers to each redeemed child of God, each one who has accepted Him as Savior. For without knowing Him as Savior, we would have no part or lot in this matter. We would be in God's sight lost and on our way to a lost eternity. So one would like to turn to one verse, first of all, in Jeremiah 31. It brings before us that wondrous love of Christ. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee. Notice it is in the past tense. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loved us, dear ones, before this world was founded. He loved us before this world was founded. And it's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now let us turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, utterly powerless to help ourselves, no strength in ourselves, Christ died for those that were without God, the ungodly. You know, we often think of the ungodly as somebody that's wicked. Well, the real meaning of the word is without God. Without God. Rejecting Christ, rejecting God's wondrous love, would be enough to label us wicked. But when we were yet without strength, utterly powerless to help ourselves, Christ died for those that were without God, the ungodly. Now, look at verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, look at verse 8 first. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. Am I a sinner? Yes, I have to own that I am a sinner. But oh, wondrous truth, Christ died for me. If he died for sinners, he died for me. Oh, dear one, is there one here that has never seen themselves a sinner in God's sight? I don't say in the sight of your fellow man, not in the sight of your companions, but in God's sight. Are you a sinner? Oh, Christ died for you. Christ died for you, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Oh, we find it written, this man, speaking of Christ, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now in verse 10, oh, I think this is the crowning sheaf, shall we say. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Oh, think of that. When we were enemies, God the Father and God the Son carried out that work of redemption to save your soul and mine when we were enemies. When man was an enemy of God, and oh, when did he show out that enmity, that hatred more than at Calvary's cross? Yes, there at Calvary's cross. And the hearts that nailed him on that cross are but a picture of your heart and mine. The unregenerate man in all his sins, hates God and hates Christ. But while we were in that condition, God the Father and God the Son accomplished that work of redemption, whereby those that were his enemies could be cleansed from all sin, washed from every stain, made fit for his presence. Oh, dear ones, this is the love that God had toward you and toward me. Now, one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, dear ones, as we look at this passage, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, that which man would count the most lasting, the most endurable, shall we say. No, but with the precious blood of Christ. And notice, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Oh, what marvelous love this is. Christ foreordained as the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. Oh, sin came as no surprise to God. God had the remedy for you and for me, already chosen before this world was founded. Oh, my friend, what love this is in the heart of God to us. Now turn to Revelation chapter 1, and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh yes, he is all of this. Faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, it is written, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Every created intelligence, heavenly, earthly, and infernal, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, he is all of this, and he is worthy. But beloved, is there one here that has never bowed the knee to that blessed one? Oh, then we plead with you that you might bow the knee now and know him as your Savior. Then you will indeed have part and lot in that which we're about to speak of. Well, the rest of this verse, unto him that loved or loves us, unto him that loves us, all that everlasting love we read of there in Jeremiah. Yea, I have loved you, saith the Lord, with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn unto him that loved us and washed us. Every redeemed child of God, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, wash us in his own blood. Wash us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, what it cost him that we might be redeemed. What it cost him that we might be cleansed. But, dear ones, this is the measure of his love to you and his love to me. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, can we turn then to Revelation 2, and verse 18. We noticed the last time that to Ephesus, oh, how much could be said of that assembly, that church, how much could be said for it. No one could point a finger at it, but Christ saw that they had left their first love. Oh, the thoughts of his love to us, of what he has done for us, what he has suffered for us. May it draw out our hearts in response to Him. Yes, He brought before that assembly that which should have spoken to their hearts of His death for them. They again had the right to eat of the tree of life, but it was because He had died that they had such a privilege. And then we find in Smyrna, all going through that persecution, that trial, that tribulation, oh, we find that He was the one that had gone through death. Gone through death for you and for me. Yes, He had annulled the power of death. All death can do for us now is set us in the immediate presence of our Lord and Savior. Oh, to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. All that death can do, that which was the stronghold of the enemy, is set us in the immediate presence of Christ. And we found in Pergamos that they were settling down in this world. Oh, dear ones, this is the aftermath of leaving that first love. Those heart's affections which He values so much, leaving that leads to settling down into this sea, to holding that which was contrary to His mind. Oh, even there, those that would overcome, those that would separate from these things so hateful to Him, oh, they enjoyed that private communion and approbation with Him. So now we come to Thyatira, Revelation 2 and verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath His eyes like unto a flame of fire, and His feet are like fine brass. O, the Son of God, this is the one with whom we have to do, beloved, the Son of God. That one who came down into this scene as a man, but was ever God from all eternity, holy, sinless, spotless, undefiled. Oh, that blessed one came down here as a man, but yet He is the Son of God, who hath His eyes like unto a flame of fire. Oh, we would remind ourselves of that little verse in Genesis 16, I think it's 13. Four words, Thou God seest me. Remember, dear ones, we come under that all-seeing eye. Nothing escapes His eye. All is seen of Him. And His feet are like fine brass. Oh, it speaks of judgment. Sin cannot be overlooked. Sin cannot be passed over. Christ died for our sins. God did not pass over the sins of the believer. Christ died for them. Christ accomplished that work of atonement, whereby God's holiness, His righteousness, was fully and forever satisfied. Yes, by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you know Him as Savior, then in God's sight you are perfected forever. And yet, He would bring to our attention our walk and ways down here while we await His return. I know thy works and charity or love and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give every one of you according to your works. Now we'll pause for a moment. Or maybe I should go on another verse. But unto you I say, leave out, dear ones, the words, and unto. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira. We are now speaking of a remnant. We find here a difference made. There was the main body, you might say, and now there is a remnant. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Well, dear ones, one might say, in the face of all this declension, how could there be such praise at the beginning? It is simply this. When all seems lost, when everything seems to have gone, then God turns to those few, that remnant, who would seek to be faithful at all costs, and he speaks to them rather than to the main body, shall we say. And so, during the Dark Ages, which historically this would represent, when everything seemed to be gone, when there was so little true knowledge of Christ, there were here and there those who showed the utmost faithfulness to Christ and to his name. Patience, faith, patience, love, works, all shone out here and there. Well, as the time got darker, and truly they were called the Dark Ages, so these bright lights here and there shone out. Oh, what persecution and suffering and hardship they endured, but they held on at all costs. And oh, God's eye noted it, noted all that it went through, and has recorded it. But I believe, too, in these four assemblies that will now come before us, four churches, we find a moral state, and we can find that which applies to our own hearts. Oh, what was it here? There was false doctrine. Fornication. What do I mean by that? Just this. The apostle said to the Corinthians, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. If we turn to Ephesians, we will find that the church is Christ's body, his bride. Separated from this world, for this world hates Christ. This world nailed Christ to a cross. This world rejected him. He came unto his own received him not. Oh yes, separated from this world. Now then, we found in Pergamos, they were dwelling where Satan's seat was. they were dwelling here in Thyatira. Fornication. They are mingling with the world. They're going on with the world, not keeping separate. Oh, dear ones, it's that which is the bride of Christ, His body, His bride, mingling with the world, getting taken up with the world, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Oh, let us consider, what is an idol? Turn to First Epistle of John, just a page or two back, and the last verse in the epistle. I'm going to read from the 19th verse. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, beloved, in Christ, knowing Him. What a place it gives us. But then this last verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is said to those that know Christ as Savior. Keep yourselves from idols. You say, I don't worship an idol. But beloved, what is an idol? It is anything that could come between my heart and Christ. Some people make an idol of a hobby. Some people make an idol of their work. Some people make an idol of sport. You can make an idol of anything. Just let it come between you and Christ, and it becomes an idol. Oh, may I ask, has Christ got the first place in your life? What place do you give in your life to the one who gave himself, gave his life, gave everything for you? What place do you give him in your life? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, we go on down. Notice in verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Verse 23, and I will kill her children. Christ never turns against, shall we say, oh, I don't even like to use the word, against his own. He loves his own. He loves them with an everlasting love. But oh, those that would seek to turn his own aside, those that would seek to corrupt them, to draw them into the world, oh, that is another matter. That is another matter. They come under the wrath of God, except they repent. Now, notice again in verse 23, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Oh, we have to do with one who desireth truth in the inward parts. It's not an outward show. That means nothing. It may pass before your fellow man. It may pass amongst those we are with, but it doesn't pass with God. He desireth truth in the inward parts. He searches the reins and the hearts. All things are open and naked under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 24 then. But unto you I say, the rest in Thyatira, the remnant, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Oh, dear ones, do you know Christ the Savior? Hold it fast. Don't give up. Do you know that he is coming for you to call you to be with himself? Hold fast. Hold fast that which thou hast. As we have none other, continue thou. Oh, don't give up. His coming is at the door. His coming is imminent. Oh, hold fast. Keep on. Continue. Just wait a little longer, and he will be here. We have before us, in the next chapter, Behold, I come quickly. We have his coming in this very passage. But in the end of Revelation, we noticed last time, three times over, Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Oh, beloved, he's coming, and his coming is at the door. Hold fast till I come. Till I come. Here we have his coming brought in. Hold on until he comes. Oh, are you downtrodden, persecuted? In the world's language, do you get a raw deal? Dear ones, don't worry over it. All these things will be righted at his coming. One thinks of a little poem that was written many years ago. Both here, I'm sure, have read the three bitters. One little stanza says, I will give her my cross of suffering, my cup of sorrow to share. But in my home above, with an endless love, all will be righted there. Oh, dear ones, hold fast. Continue. Continue. He that overcometh and keepeth my words, works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Are you little thought of here? There's a day coming when that will be righted. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. We turn back, we won't take time to go back, but we went back to the second psalm. You would find that God gives to Christ, his only begotten Son, the power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Here we find that those that have been faithful to Christ, those that have been so persecuted and downtrodden, he associates them with himself in his rule over the nation. And I will give him the morning star. I will give him the morning star. Turn over to the last chapter of Revelation for just a moment. Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Oh, beloved, it is Christ in that heavenly character. That character which presents them as coming for his own before the sun rises, the morning star. Oh, how near his coming is. We can see from his word and what is said concerning Israel And if that time is near, how much nearer is His coming for you and for me as the morning star? I will give Him the morning star. Yes, as the night seems to deepen, as the dawn approaches, oh, you see the morning star shining in all its brightness. And it should remind our hearts of Christ. In all the darkness we see around us, Christ is coming for us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Oh, beloved, Christ is still in the midst. He has given up nothing. He is still has supreme authority over His own. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Let us pause, beloved. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Oh, empty profession. You see it on every hand, the name of Christ professed, but they do not know Him as their own personal Savior. Never have they been before that Blessed One as a lost, guilty sinner. Never have they had to do with that Blessed One concerning the question of their sin. Beloved, it's empty profession on every hand. Oh, some time ago I saw in the newspaper, forgotten the name, doesn't matter, famous disco dancer, said she had become born again. Well, one wishes she had. But I wonder. Somebody said to her, what about your disco dancing? Well, I think I can do that better than ever. Oh, beloved. That doesn't go along with being born again, with being a child of God. I'm afraid such becomes empty profession. And empty profession will be found treated as the world. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect or complete before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Oh, here's a warning. Here's a warning. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Remember, we have been put in a place of privilege. We have an open Bible before us. We have the Spirit of God to take of the things of Christ and show them unto us. And God is going to hold each one responsible for the privileges that He has given to them. You and I, beloved, with the privilege that we have had of sitting under the sound of His Word, of hearing His Word, how responsible we are. And each one who has had an open Bible, God will hold them responsible for that which they have. It is required of a man according to that which he hath, not according to that which he hath not. But, oh dear ones, we have an open Bible. and it will be required of us. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This is how the Lord comes on the world. He comes on the world as a thief. And for those that are simply making an empty profession, that are not watching, that are going on mingled with the world, he will come on them as with the world. You know, there's a solemn illustration in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14. We find one who was a righteous man, a true child of God, living in Sodom. He had no business being there. He is taken captive in the wars of Sodom. Dear ones, if we mingle with the world, then we are going to suffer along with the world. And if it's simply empty profession, we will be judged with the world. Lot, of whom I'm speaking, was rescued. He hadn't learned his lesson. He continued in Sodom, had a place of prominence in Sodom, and we find in Genesis 19, God has to drag him out of Sodom, and he loses everything. All his possessions, all his family, everything gone. He himself saved, so is by fire. Oh, beloved, what a lesson these things are to you and to me, that we might keep clear from this world. Verse 4, Revelation 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Oh, if we had that private approbation in Pergamos for those that were faithful, here we find that Christ will publicly acknowledge those that are faithful, true to him. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Those that would seek to be true to him, oh, Christ says, they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. White raiment. Oh, we find in the 19th chapter of Revelation that Christ's bride is clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And we find too, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, there are those who, seeking to confess Christ as Savior, seeking to be true to him, have had their names struck off church registers down below, had their names struck off church registers in this world. Oh, yes. Never mind, says Christ, I won't strike your name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, which will you choose? Which will you choose? To be confessed before the Father and his angels, or to have a place down here? Oh, the place down here for time, for that which will pass away, but there, that approbation for all eternity. Verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. Oh, beloved, think of that. He that is holy. And he says to you, he says to me, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, dear ones, if that Blessed One is in the midst, if we are going on with him, then it must be in that condition suited to his nature. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Oh, dear ones, if we turn over for a moment to Isaiah chapter 22, Isaiah 22 and verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Well, Christ is the one that still has control down here. He is still over all. He is the one that opens and no man shuts, and the one that shuts and no man opens. And so, he comes in this form to this assembly or church in Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know thy work. Again and again and again we're reminded, his eye is ever upon us. Thou, God, seest me. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Are you going to be faithful to him? Then he will look after you. I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. He is the one that opens and no man shuts. And that door will not be shut until he sees that it is good for you and for me that it be closed. I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut. None can shut until he so decrees. He is over all. He has the key of David. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, beloved, how little this seems. Thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. But this is what Christ desires. Keeping his word. I don't mean keeping the Ten Commandments, beloved. Keeping his word. Walking according to his word. Oh, do we take the trouble to open its pages and to see what instruction he has for you and for me? Do we take the trouble to open its pages and see what instruction he has for you and for me? They have kept my word. Oh, how he values this, to seek to go according as he has directed. He has given us directions for our walk in this word. He wants us to go according to it. And hath not denied my name. All do we own by our walk and ways that we belong to Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. This is what we are. What kind of a message do my walking ways, do the walking ways of each one of us, convey to those around us? Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, known and read of all men. Oh, dear ones, what kind of a message are they reading from you? Well, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. This is what he desires. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Oh, dear ones, in a coming day, Christ is going to manifest to this world that we, those that know him as Savior, are the ones that he loved. Oh, won't that be grand? There in that coming day to be manifested that he loved us. He loved us. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from or out of the hour of temptation or trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Dear ones, there's a time of trial, tribulation, judgment coming on this scene. And it's going to fall on those who dwell on the earth, those whose all their expectations, all that they have centered in this scene, earth dwellers. But for those that know Christ as Savior, he is going to keep us out of the hour of trial. Oh, we'll be with him in glory. We'll be with Christ in glory. This is what we're looking for. We're not looking for that judgment. The world can look for it, rightly so, and tremble because of it. But for his own, he is taking us to be with himself. We will be with Christ in glory. Behold, I come quickly. Notice, the Thyatira, they were to hold fast till I come. With Sardis, he would come on them as a thief in the night if they didn't watch. But here he simply says, behold, I come quickly. Oh, the time has gone on. His coming is now imminent. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Oh, again we find those words, hold fast. Beloved, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has given us everything in Christ. We can have nothing more. We have it all. Hold it fast. Value it. Rejoice in it. Hold it fast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Oh, he had a little strength down here. Up there he will be a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Oh, what association with Christ this is. How he marks them out as his own. Beloved, this is for each redeemed child of God. Oh, that we might enter into it more. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.